Hey everyone, we're back on the road to revenue and happiness. Last week, y'all brought the questions, I brought the answers, and hosted an hour-long Q&A, answered as many questions as I could. Today's episode is filled with value, and I'm going to tell you the biggest mistake I've made this year so far. I get so many questions, so I'm thinking about hosting a BYOQ training once a month. So let me know if you'd like more of these open Q&A sessions. Come join me every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern for my free training. You can always text me at 949-298-2905 to get my free book or training guides free, and email me at david@dmeltzer.com to register. Look forward to seeing you. This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook. All right. Welcome everyone to BYOQ. That's Bring Your Own Questions. Load up the Q&A box right there. Everybody knows this is a free training. If you want a free book, if you want the free guide from today about how to ask questions and what open and closed-ended questions are, whatever it is, just go ahead and email me at david@dmeltzer.com or text me at 949-298-2905. Let's get started right onto the Q&A. Let's bring it. Give me those questions in here. Starting with, what's the biggest mistake you've made lately? Love this question. So always ego driven. I tried to do a video about starting with $1,000 and buying cars. And so my strategy was that I would go onto Car Gurus and I'd look at the fastest selling cars for $3,000. And then I'd offer everyone who owned that car and was selling it $1,000 for that car. And I think I got 49 people that told me to F off, quit waiting in their time, et cetera. But I ended up with one person that said, yes, if you can give me cash today, done deal. Then I would go to $6,000 cars that sold the fastest and offer them $3,000 and do the same thing, get a whole bunch of no's. Are you crazy? Quit wasting my time. F you. And lo and behold, one person said, sure. And I ended up selling that car for $8,800. And then I went and once again went to $12,000 and was going to offer $9,000 and found that car, did the exact same thing. Now, where did I make my mistake? Is that the next car I ended up getting, I ended up jumping it up to $21,000, all starting with $1,000. And I started getting cocky and egotistical and started doing research on different cars that I could fix up. And I went completely off of my strategy and I found this really cool car and its price was $39,000. And it was selling though for very fast, selling for $89,000. And it needed a little bit of work. So I went off of my strategy. I used my ego. I bought the car, got it fixed up. It cost more to fix up than I thought. I still was well within the guise of making money. And it was going to be a total, you know, I was going to have this great video how I only spent $12,000 or $15,000 and I turned it into $90,000 within a month. And then, you know, I enjoyed the car and I let my kids drive the car. Then I thought about keeping the car. But when I got the car registered, because now I wasn't flipping it as a broker, right, with the broker, I sent one of my employees to do it and he did it the wrong way. And it ended up being a salvage title, which reduced the value 45%. Then I thought, oh, I'll just keep it for sure. Then COVID hit in the price of cars and it just kept going and going and going. And in the end, my biggest mistake of the year is I ended up losing money. I ended up losing money, even with the $1,000 that I started with and the money that I gained, I ended up losing money. And more importantly, once again, the biggest loss was that my attention and intention was taken off what I normally do, which is focus in on doubling the amount of money I make as fast as I can so I can help as many people as I can to empower others to be happy. And this is why I don't invest in stocks, right? The amount of time it takes me worrying and emotionally looking at things, guessing and getting advice and all these things, I could have doubled my money on the front end and just saved the money on the back end. So That was the biggest mistake. Ego-driven. I allowed my own emotions of wanting to drive a cool car, wanting my kids to drive a cool car, making more than just the $3,000 increment every time. But I will tell you, if you have discipline and you enjoy cars, it is a lot of fun to go ahead and use that strategy. There's also a similar strategy with houses. If you want to know that, go ahead. You can email me, david@dmeltzer.com. I'm more than happy to help you with that. All right, two, question. Cliff Hayes, how do you maximize your connects without burning them out? Well, first of all, you're not going to burn anybody out. If I called you every day, Cliff, and I said, hey, Cliff, this is Dave, I want to mail you $100. Now, would that burn you out? Would you stop saying, quit calling me, brother? You're bothering me. No, the people that burn people out are the ones that bleed people. If you feed people, they're going to want to feed you and you're not bothering them. So we want to come from a position of value, understanding how we skills, knowledge, connections, desire, all equate into a quantitative value. You'll never burn someone out in your network if you're always providing value. Now, yes, you got to ask for help, but you can't ask for help all the time. That will bleed someone and that will burn you out and burn them out as well. Jesse, how to keep the faith when you start to get impatient or doubt creeps in? You got to have a technique, first of all. Faith is the most important thing that you could have in all of your pursuits. Faith. Faith is much more important than skills. Faith is much more important than knowledge. Faith is much more important than connections. Faith itself allows you to take yourself out of the realm of perception, meaning out of the realm of what we hear, think, say, do, believe, taste, smell, touch, and allows us to realize that if we keep enjoying, meaning enjoy, find the light, the love, and the lessons consistently every day, regardless of our doubt, regardless of our impatience when we connect our emotions to an outcome, when we have faith of enjoying the consistent every day, persistent without quit, pursuit of whatever potential we are looking at, knowing our what, we then can eradicate impatience and doubt. We can only eradicate impatience and doubt with one thing, faith. Faith is the thing that allows us to enjoy the consistent, persistent pursuit of our potential. How do we have faith? If we focus in on those capabilities, if we focus in and lower the bar and we do things every single day, it allows us to have more faith. It allows us to grow at that pace. I told that story about the lily pond, right? Lily pond, you have lilies, they double in every single segmentation. So let's just say it takes a year for a lily to grow. You have one in 1 year, you have two, and then you have four, and then eight. Well, if it would take you 30 years to cover your pond, most people think that in 15 years, you should be literally 50% of the way there, but you're not. A lily pond will only be 50% of the way there at 29 years. The worst thing is at 28 years, you're only 25% of the way there, and 12 and a half at 27. That's why 99% of the people don't have faith. They quit, they get impatient, they connect their emotions to an outcome, which causes even more pressure, resistance, interference between them and what already exists, already they're connected to. So that's how we do it. All right, Angel. Do angel investors like yourself invest into businesses outside of their own country? And if so, how to connect with them and pitch the idea? Thanks. Most angel investors invest off of five things. One, credibility. So a lot of times, if you're in another country, your credibility has a heightened level of due diligence necessary, because we don't have the same types of systems, checks, and balances that are necessary. But the number one thing that an angel investor looks for is credibility. So if you can provide information that makes your country more credible, and there are countries that seem to be more beneficial to investing in than others, but if you're able to add to the credibility, or maybe it's emotional attachment, number two, add to the emotional attachment of what is happening there. Then three, all investment is based off of the quantified reasons we should invest, the quantified capabilities and impact. And we use the features and benefits of our company in order to describe the credibility, the emotional attachment, the quantitative reasons, impacts, and capabilities. That's how it works. But remember, your country can either be something that needs to be revalued if it has a discrediting nature to it, or it may have a positive asset or explanation for increasing the credibility. Credibility is the number one thing. In fact, I'm going to do a pitch competition on July 24th, by the way. I'm going to do a pitch competition July 24th, and please join me. You'll win my one-on-one coaching, a whole bunch of other stuff. First three companies will all have different prizes. So if you're interested at all, July 24th, in joining that, go ahead, email me, david@dmeltzer.com. Would love to have you, or text me 949-298-2905, whatever is best for you. So I will go through and teach all of these things. It'll be the 2-minute drill. So you have 2 minutes to pitch this time. I'll give you 3 minutes of feedback and pick some winners. Josh, David, how do you suggest to acquire customers during this time? The same way you acquired customers before is provide value. And so you need in-person, on the phone, via email and media, radio, print, TV, and social media, to evaluate those capabilities I discussed before of our company. So to see, can we deliver in person, or can we pick up in person, or via email orders taken, whatever it may be. Look at the 4 different platforms in which we can provide service or value to our customers. Find the most efficient, effective, and statistically successful way to do that. Don't be afraid to give yourself permission to be a hypocrite and to change, even if it's 20, 30, 200 years of history, in order to effectuate a new economy, a rethought last mile, a rethought supply chain. All of these things not only have been rethought throughout the last decade, but throughout the 12 weeks, they've been rethought. And so you have to look and see, how can I best deliver my value in person, on the phone, via email, and media, radio, print, TV, and social media. And remember the new supply chain, remember the new last mile, and you'll be able to effectuate new business, more value, more money, more help, and more fun. That's the key. Mel, hi, David. Thanks for all you do. Thank you very, very much. I've been using Facebook, Instagram ads, LinkedIn messaging, posting to social media, and providing free value, etc. Those are all great ways. Have you been asking people, do you know anyone that can help me? Have you had phone calls, text messages, emails? Have you seen if there's places within social distancing that you can meet people? These are all things that are available to you. Use them. For someone under 30, what steps should or would you take before you start investing in something for a long term? Example, paying off all credit card debt before investing, doing research on the thing you're investing in, etc. Well, if I'm under 30, I'm looking for people that sit in a situation that I want to be in, people that have 30 or 40 years of experience. I'm looking to learn timing and risk tolerance. I'm looking to see what my key short-term, mid-term, and long-term objectives are. If I have debt, I'm looking to see how I can create a margin or leverage that debt into more secured profit, determined upon my timing or my risk tolerance. But I am absolutely going to find someone with 30 or 40 years of experience in what I want to invest in, and ask them, when you please tell me when something's overbought, if it's a long-term hold or oversold. That's where the margins of millionaires are made. That's why real estate, for example, is a great place to go ahead if you don't have a property, in order to effectuate what America was built on. All of our laws were built to protect the landowner originally in 1776. We want to leverage all of that, but don't do it by yourself. There's so much dummy tax to be paid in real estate, so much dummy tax to be paid in investing. If you could find someone, and several someones I would, that have 30 or 40 years experience specifically in what you're interested in, and learning and aligning that with your timing and risk tolerance, you will be fine. But I, at under 30, best piece of advice I give you is focus in on doubling the amount of money make you fast as you can. Focus in on doubling the amount of money you make as fast as you can. Even if you put that away in a conservative guaranteed 7% or 6% return every year, by the time you're my age at 52, you'll never have to work again. If you continually focus in on just doubling the amount of money you make as fast as you can. All right, Brittany, I am diving deeper into affiliate marketing. Do you have any tips for me to get leads or referrals? Any great eye-catching headlines to use that are honest to use? Please do let me know. Be very specific about your frequency on your advertising for affiliate marketing. Use age groups, use colors, use specific clear ass of what you're looking for. Don't be afraid to say, do you know someone that can help me? Do you know someone that's looking for someone to make some side cash, a side hustle? Do you know anyone? But utilize who you're looking for. Are you looking for, to work from home? Whatever the issues are, be very straightforward. Ask, and ask others to ask for you. There's sponsors and power sponsors out there. You have to keep on asking and building that affiliate marketing program, getting feedback from them of how receptive people are to what you're marketing, and make the necessary changes, value changes that will allow you to be more statistically successful, efficient, effective as well. Next question. What is the number to text? 949-298-2905. 949-298-2905. Also, david@dmeltzer.com. Free books, free guides, pitch competition, get info on that for the July 24th, or anything else that you need. Just go ahead, reach out. Thank you. Can you please make a video sharing your Theta meditation technique? How do you get yourself back to center? Already have done that. I've had two different experts on, Alex. So go ahead on YouTube and Google it or email me. I'll send you a link. We are trying to create a search engine for all my videos and content so that you could just type it in, and we should have that up and running soon. So please, Theta Meditation, Dr. Sangeeta Sahi, S-A-H-I, is my guru and has given me the techniques to raise my vibration and frequency, to elevate my awareness, and to be able to stop, drop, and roll like a ferocious Buddha back to center neutrality to create that unbelievable trajectory, clear, balanced, and focused trajectory on what I want. Brandon, what is the best way to check the ego when running a business? Well, I wish I would have learned that lesson with the car example, right? Number one, practice knowing what your ego is. Number one, practice knowing what your ego is. Before you go to number two, go back to number one. Practice knowing. For me, let me list out some things that I've learned over the last 14 years as I've gone through my own practice of learning of what the ego is. I have a terrible need to be offended. I have a terrible need to be right. I have a need to be separate. That means a need to be inferior and superior, depending on the situation. I have a need to be angry. I have a need to be frustrated. I have a need to worry, to feel anxious, to feel sad. I have a need for guilt. I have a need for resentment as well. All of these different things I practice identifying. I no longer use the thermostat of my life as my bank account. I no longer define myself by how much money that I make. I define myself with how I feel. And the minute I don't feel good, I go ahead and try to identify what part of the ego is creating an interference, a corrosion to, void shortages or obstacles from what I'm already connected to, which is this great source of light, love, and lessons, this great, powerful source of happiness that I want everyone to have. I want all of you to have that. And the best way is, number one, be aware of what the ego is. And then two, when you identify it, stop, which will be very ferocious. It's probably the most difficult thing to do if you're in some sort of ego-based consciousness, some sort of argument, you're worrying, and you tell yourself, let it go, let it go, let it go. Well, if any of you have teenagers, try it sometime when you're in ego-based emotion to say, let it go, stop. But if you got to do it, you got to practice stopping. And then if you can get yourself to stop, then you drop down like a Buddha. I am a ferocious Buddha. I'm a ferocious Buddha. I'm ferocious about stopping and identifying. Then I drop down into center, breathing through my nose, out through my mouth with a vertical spine, the best that I can to find peace and ask myself, why do I feel this way? Learning the lessons, knowing that pain is just an indicator. It's a turn signal telling me that I have a lesson to learn. Mental, physical, spiritual, emotional, financial pain, all just indicating that I have something to learn, something to expand and grow and make me feel better. I get excited. I get excited. I don't like pain, but I get excited knowing what's coming when it's there. And because I then get down to center and I'm now back to being ferocious, moving in the right trajectory according to the inventory of my personal, experiential, giving and receiving values, moving in the right trajectory for what I want, giving myself an efficient way, a statistically successful way to get what I want in order to what? Feel good, to be happy. Great question. What advice can you give to freshmen and sophomores in high school who are trying to get ahead in their work experience and leadership in high school? The same advice I give to anyone trying to get ahead in what they're looking at doing. Let's use math. Let's use the power of 64, right? Let's use math. If most people are 8 hours productive, let's go ahead and try to be 16 hours productive in a day. Then let's work systems. Find the 4 minutes every day. 4 minutes every day will be 3 full days, 24 hours of productivity every year. If you can find 4 minutes to be more efficient every single day, keep searching for those 4 minutes. I'm doing it all the time with all the activities I get paid for, all the activities I don't get paid for. I'm consistently trying to find those 4 minutes to make my 16 hours of productivity 32 hours of productivity. And if I can then do that, I go to statistical success by practicing the best I can, practicing the best that I can to make my 32 hours of productivity 64 hours of productivity a day. It's called the power of 64. And if you can learn to love the light, the lessons in everything you do, there is no work. There is no homework. There is no work. There's just activity you get paid for, activity you're productive in, and activity you're leisurely in. There's just visiting time. There's just relaxing time, but there is productivity time. And how can we make our relaxing and leisure time productive? Another way. But if you can do 64 hours of productivity, 7 days a week, 8 days of productivity every day times 7 days a week, that's 56 days of productivity. And if you're starting when you're a sophomore or a freshman in high school with that, oh my gosh, remember, 56 days a week, unbelievable. Compared to most people at 5, you're getting 11 plus times what other people are productive. Every single year, imagine when you're 21, what will happen. This is why people call people overnight successes. They don't realize that, you know, a Justin Bieber started so young, every single hour of every day, trying to be productive with the power of 64, or, you know, a young Bill Gates or any of these people that are hyper successful at a young age, Zuckerberg, they were doing things differently. They were beating people with math. That's how I became a millionaire 9 months out of law school. That's the way I did it. I was not smarter, more talented. I just beat people with math. So go ahead. If you want to learn more about the Power of 64, I can send you a worksheet. I can send you my book for free. It's in there. Go ahead, david@dmeltzer.com, 949-298-2905. If you want to get in the pitch competition, use that as well. How much does it cost for you to be our mentor or counselor? Well, this is free. Right? I don't like to sell my books. I don't like to do anything. I do have a private coaching group. I'm starting a new one. If you'd like to join that, go ahead, email me, david@dmeltzer.com or 949-298-2905. If you want one-on-one business advisory, I carry so many clients. It's only month to month. So I have a rotation in there. Not everybody needs me for years and years. So go ahead and use the same thing and we can have an overview call if you're interested in that type of membership. But we will do free Friday training for the last 20 years and the next 40. I promise it'll be free, free, free. How can I help you? What would be the most helpful thing for you that I can do for you to be more successful and promote your programs? Well, number one, be kind to your future self and do good deeds. If you can empower others to empower others yourself, Michael, if you can find in your life 1,000 people that you can empower 1,000 people to be happy, all I need is 999 more Michaels to do that, right? 1,000 times 1,000 is a million. 1,000,000 times 1,000 is a billion. I can create a collective consciousness now of happiness, creating abundance, having everyone living in my world, the world of more than enough, the world that comes through you for others. I don't give to receive. I receive so I can give. It comes through me with appreciation. I add my value to it. I'm grateful for it. And I give it away to everything that I'm connected to. The best way that you could help is to be one of my 1,000, Michael. And if you want to do more, invite everyone to come here to free training. We are going to teach everybody to live in an abundant world of more than enough. Not a world of just enough where you're buying things you don't need to impress people you don't like. Not the world definitely of not enough where you're a victim, things are happening to you, and everybody has more and you have less. Not that world, the world of more than enough. That's where we're all going to live, a happy world of abundance. And we are going to create a collective consciousness. Happy people don't get sick. Happy people don't get angry. Happy people don't attack other people. It is a phenomenal world to live in. And that's the one I want everyone to share in with me. That's why I do these every Friday. Thelma, hi, I'm Nigerian. We have little opportunities, but big dreams. You cannot out-ask the universe. You cannot out-dream the universe. So keep that up, Thelma. You cannot out-ask the universe. You cannot out-dream the universe. I promise you. And I'm ready to put in the work. My question is, put more light on resist and it will persist. Yes. So what happens is if we look for the resistance, the void, shortages, and obstacles, that's what we attract. We get more and more of that. And, you know, it's classic as a parent. You know, if you're constantly saying to your kids, don't do this, don't do this, don't, they're going to do it. What you resist persists. You know, you want to focus in on the superpower that you want. You want to manifest what you want by paying attention to and giving intention to the things that you want, the coincidences that you want, and people will tell you how lucky you are. You will create less resistance. Let me give you a little cold calling tip. I actually, before I make any phone call of significance, tell myself I will receive no resistance. This will be effortless. This, in my mind, that's the energy, the attention and intention I put into every phone call or a big meeting. I do it all the time. This is effortless. I will receive no resistance. This is effortless. It will be effortless. It's done. It's done. It's done. And it's amazing. I have some of my sales guys. You got to reach out to me. Go ahead. I'll email you proof. David@dmelzer.com. But they'll have, you know, every sale guy has someone that never calls them back. Weeks will go by, sometimes a month. And they'll come in and say, Dave, can you help me? I say, yeah, sure. What? This person is not returning my call. I will pray. I will focus attention and intention. This will be effortless. I will receive no resistance. This will be effortless, effortless, effortless. I will dial and they will answer. No idea how I do that. Pisses them off, but it'll work for you too. Go ahead. Use attention and intention. Remember, you cannot outdream the universe. You cannot out-ask the universe. Ask big, dream big. It will come. Focus in on what you want and be willing to enjoy the consistent, persistent pursuit of your potential. There's one common denominator through all of this that goes along with faith, and that's the faith that you must be what you can be. No one's ever made it without that. No one's ever made it. They won't accelerate. They won't grow without the ability to have faith in the fact that they must be what they can be, expanding, growing, accelerating, not seeing it, but later the results will show it. my man, Marco Antonio, my dear friend, thank you for your question. What was your experience like on your spiritual journey with your yogi? What was the most valuable thing you learned from that experience? Awareness. I truly understanding of frequency, vibration, and awareness. And I'm going to go through it real quick. Everything vibrates. The earth vibrates the slowest. Plants, animals, humans, sound, light, and the thought. And the thing that vibrates the fastest, is the truth. And what I'm doing is pursuing my potential and pursuing the truth through an understanding frequency and vibration. So I meditate, I try to eat right, I exercise, all the things I try to do, try to surround myself with higher vibrating people, higher things. I don't surround myself with people that bleed me. I just try to understand and pray for their happiness and elevate their vibration. But the rule of vibration, the rule of frequency is, and the rule of awareness is very simple. You cannot be aware of anything that vibrates equal to or above you. So you can only be aware of people and things that vibrate equal to or less than you. So the more we vibrate, the more we're aware of, which creates a simplicity in the universe, a simplicity in the world, an effortless resistance. People answer the phone. People tell me, hey, how can I help you? I get touches of favor all over the place. All it takes is one touch of favor to change your life. Go ahead, ask that question to people. Ask the most successful people, people that sit in the situation that you want to be in, and ask them, tell me the one touch of favor that happened that changed your entire trajectory. I guarantee they have it in mind. I've had multiple touches of favor, and it's been wonderful. Mel, the ugliness of things happening in our nation discourages and frustrates me. Okay. I find that I am able to deal with it if I focus in on my goals and tasks and don't react to what is going on in the news. Okay. My friend says that by ignoring what's going on in the news or world means I don't care about justice and equality. What do you think? Seek what you want. You don't have to be inundated with the news, but you can seek the data, the stable data that you want in order to effectuate two things that are close to the truth, justice and equality. And you can care about it and you can be knowledgeable about it, but you don't have to be inundated with the ugliness. You don't have to be inundated with the negativity. You can seek once, twice a day, the knowledge that you want, and you can help. Know your role. So when someone tells you, you don't care, you say, you know what? Actually, I do care. I've been asked to advise this person. I've been meeting with the police chief to do this. I have built a group of people to do this. I may not, as a white male, know where you're coming from, but this is the role I'd like to play. If it so helps you, terrific. But this is the role that I want to play to help, because my objective is justice. My objective is equality. My objective is prioritization of you. I want to make you a priority because I love and care about you. Please don't attack me or judge me or put conditions on me when I'm trying to help you. And if I don't want to be inundated with negativity, if I don't want to be inundated with the ugliness, as you say, more power to me, because I'm seeking the information that I need in order to effectuate change in the best of my abilities, according to my values, my capabilities, with the best intention, as well as attention to the matter, to create the coincidence that I feel will help both of us. And I'm open to learning from you if there's something or something better I could do. Very good. How do you find happiness while working towards your goal? The goal you feel will make you happy. Look, it's a practice, and most people don't understand it. You got to find the light, the love, and lessons and everything. I'm going to tell my trash story. So I grew up, and I hated taking the trash out. And for some reason, we had five boys, one girl. They always chose me or assigned me taking out the trash. And immediately, I had a negative ugliness perception of taking out the trash. I'd complain about it. I'd whine about it. I'd waste more. Any parents out there know what I'm talking about. I'd waste more money complaining why I had to take the trash out than actually taking the trash out. And you know what? I'd slam it and it'd spill. If it had sauce in there, it'd spill on me every time. If it had glass on there, it would cut me. And then hated it more. Went to college. I was the smallest one in my football fraternity, and they made me take the trash out, of course. If I thought six kids was nasty, try a fraternity of football players. That was nasty. Made me take the trash out. Then I get married and have three kids. I'm like, okay, I don't have to take trash out anymore. Nope. Bad trash karma. And then I realized this lesson of enjoying the consistent, persistent pursuit of finding the happiness, the light, the love, and the lessons in everything, even taking out the trash, finding the light and the love and the lessons. So I said to myself, all right, what is it I want? What is I want to make me happy? I want time. I am productive, accessible, and gracious. I teach to be a student in your calendar. I am moving. Sometimes I just want a 3 to 5 minute break to find my center, to help me be a ferocious Buddha, to find that neutrality, to create the efficiencies, effectiveness. Oh, wow, the trash is a perfect excuse. Excuse is a light, a love, and a lesson. I started looking at the trash differently. Every time I saw it was an excuse to spend some me time, to find what I wanted to be happy about. And my energy changed so much that my daughter, who trash was like kryptonite to, actually offered to take the trash out. They wouldn't even do that before. Why? Because I found the light, the love, and the lessons in something as mundane and stupid as taking the trash out, because now I would take the trash out wherever I go. And I love to do it still because it helps me be happy. You can do that with everything if I can do that with taking out the trash. Am I wasting my time helping out customers who I don't or won't necessarily benefit from? I will refer leads sometimes to other vendors or technology when I know my services I represent just are not a good fit. You are never wasting your time if you are helping someone. Golden rule, imposible, not a chance. You're creating a void for the universe to fill when you do for others. When you are kind to your future self by doing good deeds, by helping anyone with no, right? You're stuck in the same quid pro quo world of the legal ease that I learned years ago. You're stuck in the world is the more I give, the more I'll get. No, 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 no. The more you receive, the more you can give. Make room for what you want by doing good deeds with unconditional behavior. No judgments, no conditions, no attachments, no negotiation, and no trading. Just simply allowing yourself to provide value and service and ask others, do you know anyone that can help me? I promise you, if you can put yourself into this flow, that you will have abundant world that you live in and things will come to you rapidly and accurately. You have to have a combination of the law of Goya, get off your ass. Thank you, John Assaroff. The law of Goya with the law of attraction. When you utilize the law of Goya by doing well for others, regardless of what you receive, it's just making room for what you want. And by asking for help, it accelerates that to fill that void of yours. And the universe is much more exact than you are. It's much more capable than you are. You just have to have faith and be willing to enjoy the consistent, persistent pursuit of your potential. All right. What is the fastest way to build an audience? One person at a time. That's the fastest way. You got to inspire one person at a time, to inspire two people, to inspire two people, so on, so on. 20 segments equal 2 million people. You build an audience by creating frequent quality content at your frequency, whatever that may be. It may be, you know, you're an expert toenail cutter. Well, there's millions of people that want to know about toenail cutting, and that's what you want to do. Then you put out the quality content with a strong signal consistently again and again and again, and you find that one person that's out there is like, oh my gosh, I love watching the cutting of the toenails. He's incredible. And then they tell somebody else, oh, you like to watch the cutting of the toenails? I like to watch the cutting of the toenails. This might sound stupid, and I thought this analogy was stupid until I realized, has anyone ever gone to the zit popper, right? The zit popper. Do you know how many millions of people watch like that zit popping thing? I thought it was a joke. I had an ingrown hair. I know this is disgusting and too much information for everybody, but I'm going to be illuminating. So I have an ingrown hair that happened on my back. I got lots of hair on my back, more information you didn't need, but regardless, from traveling so much, I get this thing, and I have people in my office lining up to go to the doctor to have that like popped and removed. Are you kidding me? When I saw that, I said, you know what, anybody can build an audience. They got to be consistent, and go ahead, check out the zit poppers, and you will realize, okay, what's my specialty? I'm sure it's a lot more attractive than popping zits, or I hope so. All right, Jordan, welcome. Hi, David. I have consumed a significant amount of material on how to be a better man personally and professionally. However, I'm still finding myself unable to apply the knowledge. Why do you think this is, and what is your opinion of hypnosis? Any feedback is greatly appreciated. Sincere. This actually applies to building an audience above, believe it or not. Look, we are dumb. The internet's dumber, but we're dumb. And I mean everyone. That means that our senses, the way we see, smell, touch, hear, and feel, we don't remember. We don't remember. And two, our memories are weak, so we can't remember a lot of it. So how do we do it? We have to have repetition. We have to consistently do stuff again and again and again. And we're always fighting our quantum nature of how many times we have to do it again and again and again. But the funny thing is, even though we may know that about ourselves, like you, Jordan, you know that you're trying to be a better man personally and professionally, and you're finding yourself unable to apply the knowledge because it takes time. What about other people? Right? When you're building that audience, how are they? You people, they post one thing, and number one, they think the whole world sees it, and two, they think the whole world remembers it. Not a chance. You know, I will keep posting everything again and again and again and again and again and again because I can't remember it. I know they can't, right? I know I'm sitting here going, what's next week's training about? Time management. We're going to do it about time. I know we're doing a pitch competition July 24th. I know my email address, david@dmeltzer.com, 949-298-2905 for free books, free guides, to sign up for the pitch competition, register for free trainings, whatever you want. You want the private coaching group or one-on-one training, just email me or call me. All right, let's get this down. Repeat. How do you look within yourself to find the right answers to make good decisions? You need to take inventory of your values every day. That, to me, is the secret sauce of making good decisions. You can't be afraid of being a hypocrite, but you have to every day ask yourself, what are my personal values today? What are my experiential values today? What do I want to experience today? What are my giving values today? What are my receiving values today? And then I align those values with any of the circumstances, people, places, or things, business objectives, et cetera, that unveil themselves during the day, or I allow them to happen or attract them to myself. And I see how aligned they are. And I am not afraid of being a hypocrite. How many times do we make a decision and somebody's like, oh, if I do that, my mom's going to think, I've been telling her for years that I want to go to law school. How am I going to tell her that I want to sell legal research online? No, vote for what you want. Know your values every day. Don't be afraid of being a hypocrite, and you will know the good decisions, and don't be afraid to change your mind. Okay? All right. I have credit card bill to pay, and there's been times I have been depressed about it. What is a way to not get sidetracked by it? Pay it. If something causes interference, voids, and shortages, then you make it your objective. I don't care if you have to stay up 20 hours a day. I don't care if you have to go Uber, Grubhub, whatever it is to do, then get rid of the credit card. Go ahead. If it bugs you that much, then go ahead and make yourself feel really good and attack it. Go pay that thing off. However amount of time, sleep in your car if you have to, if it bugs you that much. I love Josh York. And you know, this is a kid who started his franchise. He's one of the fastest growing franchisees in America in the workout space, but he literally made a plan. He needed, you know, 10, 15 grand to start his first store. And he just slept in his car. He did a job that he didn't like, and he saved 90 some percent of everything that he made. Pay off the bill, get a second job. Go ahead, attack it. Don't let it attack you. Don't allow it to cause interference and void insurance. Let it be something that propels you and elevates you, because you have beaten it. You have beaten it. All right, let's get real. Let's attack it. Are you actively investing in companies? Yes. If so, what are you looking for specifically during COVID-19 pandemic? I'm always looking for the same thing. Right, I'm looking for an entrepreneur that is credible, that has emotional attachment aligned with my values, and can quantify reasons, impacts, and capabilities that I will have a return on investment and the highest guaranteed return on investment that I can have. With only a selected portion of my money, what I call my lottery ticket money, that's predetermined at the beginning of the year. I have three different funds that I work with, several other funds that I work with, but it is my lottery ticket. The majority of my money, I am only focusing in on one thing, making it double the amount of money I make as fast as I can in order to put it away and allow it to be in a guaranteed annuity. That's why I partnered with Marshall Falk and his business. They absolutely have a guaranteed annuity that just allows me to not worry about it. When that stock market fell, I didn't even know it fell. When it went back out, I didn't know it went back up. I was still just focusing in on having the best month that I've ever had, June, and not worried about the stock market. But there is a portion that I spend to invest in the entrepreneurs. That's what I look for. Any industry, I'm looking for someone that must be what they can be. And there's several great ones out there. You can see them, you know, on my Instagram lives, on my office hours every day at 3 o'clock. You can see them on the playbook. There's extraordinary entrepreneurs out there that you can ask for mentorship, or I can mentor you to help be. So go ahead, reach out to me. Read my book, free, david@dmeltzer.com. All my guides, exercises, free. Go ahead if you want some coaching, david@dmeltzer.com, 949-298-2905. All right, let's keep this rolling. I'm flying here. Hi, David. First of all, I just want to say thank you. You're my favorite entrepreneur. My question would be, how would you explain vibrate faster in business? So your business is a collective conscious, and if it's value-based, it has a vibration of its own. When people come into my office, what I want them to say is it feels differently in here. Oh my God, love the way it feels in here. So much energy in here. That's a collective consciousness, because I reinforce every single day, from my employees to my consultants, to my interns, to my externs, gratitude, forgiveness, accountability, and inspiration. Four things. Only four things I teach. If you use that in order to develop your skills, knowledge, relationships, and desire. If you use that to enjoy the consistent, persistent pursuit of your potential, if you use that gratitude, forgiveness, accountability, and inspiration to make your decisions, money will come. Success will come. And so you need to vibrate faster within the context of your values. Have everyone consistently as a collective utilize that awareness to raise their potential, their highest frequency as a collective. All right. Hello, Mr. David. How to do networking and keep consistent? They say that your network is your net worth. Is this true? Thank you in advance and have an amazing weekend and happy fourth. Happy fourth to everybody. Also, everyone have an amazing weekend. This is difficult because I think my network is my net worth because I think we're all one. So my network is the connectivity that exists not only to the greatest source of light, love, and lessons at all time that I try to keep less interference of, but the fact that I allow it to come through me with appreciation and I'm connected to everything and everyone else. That's a network. Right? That's a network. And so I think understanding that and being consistent in that network, that flow of abundance, that everything comes through you, not to you, not for you, but through you, receiving so you can give, receiving from the greatest source of light, love, and lessons, and the greatest source of infinity where everything already exists. That's the secret. So yes, your network is the net worth and the fact that we're all connected and we are one, and you have to stay consistent in clearing that connection, not only with the source, but also with everything else and everyone. And in order to do that, you have to be grateful, you have to be forgiving, you have to be accountable, and you have to understand inspiration, the effective communication between that which you're connected to and everything else. Ooh, good. Michael, any advice for working on and closing deals with larger national and global brands that you are in the sales cycle with? Well, one of the things that a lot of people ask me for is a go, no go plan. And it's one thing I learned years ago in solution selling. Michael Bosworth taught me it. It's amazing. People don't use it. It will accelerate a sales cycle by plotting out, connecting the dots backwards in order to effectuate what needs to be done in order to accommodate value. So I'm going to do this. You're going to tell me, okay, I still want to move forward or not. I'm going to do this then. You're going to tell me you still want to go forward or not. I get them in the habit of saying yes, 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 yes. And pretty soon we're all done and the sales cycle is sped up. There's not resistance, voids, and shortages. We're able to do that. One of the other things I do is I understand no, right? I'm okay. 25 no rule. I'm going to keep asking, asking, asking. And, you know, I just assume within a matter of 25 no's, I'll have what I want. Or the 3 no rule, when I'm in the sales cycle, if I'm held up in a status or a point of the go, no go plan, then on the 3rd no, I let them know, hey, I have customers who do want to do business with me that are moving forward. When you're ready to go, let me know. You will save yourself so much time because 50% of those people will never call you, but 50% will. All right. Get me? Cool. I have savings to invest in my business. Where would you invest first to make the most impact? It's determinative upon your timing and your risk tolerance. I would seek a mentor in the areas that you're interested in, someone who's been 30, 40 years in the industry, in order to effectuate what you want to do according to your values, your timing, and your risk tolerance. It's that simple. Keep on focusing. If you have that much savings right now, go ahead, save more. It never have enough, and you can utilize mentorship. If you're going to invest in your business too, more than happy to help. David@dmeltzer.com, 949-298-2905. Very, very good. Jay Fenster, I see the first mentee I ever had. I think I started mentoring when he's 5 years old. He's an extraordinary Jeff Fenster in the house. Thank you for coming, my dear friend, Everbull. I'm so proud of that kid. All right. Okay, here we go. What are some of the best ways to attain passive income in your opinion? That's easy. Save your money, right? Save your money. The best ways to attain passive income is save your money. If you save your money, you will be able to effectuate something that creates passive income, whether it's an IUL, an annuity, whether it's a rental property, whether it's a stock, I don't know. But there's tons and tons of stuff. But to get true passive income, you got to save. So put your money away. You can't put your money away if you're spending more than you have. So you got to make and double the money as fast as you can and save as much as you can. When I got out of law school, my first paycheck was $33,000 for the first month. Not only did I save almost all of it, but I had a $25 per diem, meaning for food, and I ate peanut butter and jelly in a paper bag the same way my mom used to pack peanut butter and jelly in a paper bag for dinner in between the two jobs she was working. Because it was $175 extra dollars a week, $700 a month tax-free, which equated to about $1,400 extra a month, which was extra payments on my law loans that I had, which allowed me to what? Save more money so that I was a millionaire 9 months out of law school, creating passive income, buying my mom a house and a car. Unfortunately, I believed money bought love and happiness at the time, and I had to learn better through my journey and lessons. So hopefully you will pay, will live through my dummy tax and not pay that one. All right. Dave, first time tuning in. What are the first steps as an entrepreneur with an idea to improve chance of success and help others? Look, your success will give you options of how you can help others. So I don't really have to pay too much attention to the helping others side when I'm a first-time entrepreneur just starting up. What I'm really focusing on is staying in business and growing my business, accelerating my business, experiencing exponential growth to get to the hockey stick so I have not only a better chance of success, but the capability and options to help so many more people. I'd love to be in a position like Jeff Bezos to stroke a $10 billion check to save the environment. That would be amazing, right? And that's the type of things that I'm focusing on. So focus in on what does it take to stay in business, have the patience the enjoyment to consistently, persistently pursue your potential. What advice can you give to, same question there. What are some business models of book deals for published work? Also, how are authors typically compensated in these instances? Many different models. There's publishers, there's business unit publishers, there's these companies in Indiana that all self-publish and they go under different brands. You can create your own self-publishing very easily. I would suggest, I'm going to give a shout out to mine, Cliff Carl. Eric Carle's nephew, the famous children's author, but Cliff Carle has helped guide me. So I found someone that was in the situation I wanted to be in. He had done over 300 books. He had dealt with all the agents, all the publishers, all the self-publishing, and he was my publishing consultant. And so he taught me, right, the dummy tax. He gave me 30, 40 years of situational knowledge and experience of what to do and what not to do. He had the relationships as well that he allowed me to leverage to get a better book cover, to understand who I could have for my forward, to understand the distribution channel, to understand the supply and demand channel, the marketing and advertising, to understand the big bookstores, to understand a book signing. I use mentorship. Even to write my book before that, big shout out to Greg Reed, with Napoleon Hill Foundation. I asked Greg, I wanted to write a book like Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich. And my idea was connected to goodness, a complete blend of the pragmatic and the spiritual world in order to effectuate making a lot of money, helping a lot of people, having a lot of fun, attracting what you want in life and business rapidly and accurately. And he helped me just because I asked, and I'm forever grateful to him as well. Acquire or start from scratch an online content affiliate business. Either or, whichever one's going to make you more money that you have better access to that is aligned with your values according to your timing and your risk tolerance and your investment. Both are great. You just have to find the right deal for you. Remember, everyone, we have a pitch competition July 24th. We have training next week is time management, time training, time travel. Watch that. I'll give you one of those too. Well, my book. Just go ahead, reach out for all of these, david@dmeltzer.com, 949-298-2905. Super excited about July 24th, though. The two-minute drill pitch competition, two-minute pitches with three-minute feedback. I got some great prizes for you, too, especially some one-on-one coaching from me so we can build your business. How did you start building your brand, and what advice do you have for someone on the same mission? So, number one, I had to find my own frequency. to build your brand. I was with Danica Patrick this morning, and I told her how she was a judge on Elevator Pitch, the TV show I produced with Entrepreneur. And I told her, you know, you taught me to find my own frequency, to be myself, to not vote for what other people want. And it was really cool because we had this guy that was a complete jerk. And she basically said, I'm not investing in you because you're a jerk. And she used a better word than that. And I was like, whoa. Like, I was such a pleaser. I was such a, like, middle of the road. And to build my brand, I had to take a stand. I had to be the toenail cutter, right? This is what Dave Meltzer is. This is what he is. This is what he believes. And I'm okay with it. And maybe if you disagree with me, I can learn why. Right? A lot of people out there trolling and hating. I give them my cell phone. I really have learned a lot of people that get upset for reasons and no reason. But it's beautiful. Go ahead, find your frequency, strengthen that signal, stay consistent as best you can, make the investment in yourself, know your spectrum, right? The toenail clippers. These are all the people that clip their toenails and love to watch toenail tipping. And then finally, practice. You can never post enough. You can never post the same thing enough. You need to get clarity. It's not what I say, it's what you hear. It's not what I say, it's what you hear. So I have to get better at saying it so you hear it. All right, those are some great pieces of advice. What do you think about starting one of these businesses? Thrift store, workspace, laundromat, flea, scrapyard, hotel, motel, barber, Holiday Inn, trash removal company, pressure washing business. I like them all, as long as they're profitable. I like them all if they're aligned with your value. I like them all if they're aligned with your timing and risk tolerance. I like them all if they're credible. I like them all if you can get emotional attachment with them. I like them all if you can quantify to me the reasons, impacts, and capabilities of why it's going to make money. If it stands by the 120 rule, I like them all. Pick the best one according to your values. How do you go about building your team? Three stages. You can reach out to me, david@dmeltzer.com, 949-298-2905, scaling your business. You build your team this way, and I'm going to show you. It's really simple. You have to personally teach somebody, okay? Then you have to personally work with them. Then you have to personally watch them. And then you drop off and they do the same thing. And then they drop off and they do the same thing. This is how a business scales. Learning stage, execution stage, equity stage. This is one of my expertise in scaling a business. Simple ways via values in order to effectuate building a business. That's what allowed me to give myself permission to change my business in a matter of minutes when we were told to go home, because I have this model. How I keep my focus on my business during hard times. Okay, let's be honest, everyone. There's always hard times. I just read a letter from 1943 from my grandfather. In 1977, he had to sell his business, and his quote was, I guess it's just too hard to be a small businessman in America. It's always hard. If it wasn't hard, everybody would do it, right? 90-some percent of businesses fail their first time, and 90% of businesses succeed the second time. Unfortunately, most people don't go on to the second time. It's hard. So you stay focused on what? Your capabilities, right? Your capabilities. Keep developing your skills. Keep acquiring knowledge, keep building your network of relationship capital, and most importantly, keep harnessing the inspiration, the power to must be what you can be. That's the key cornerstone of what you're doing as an entrepreneur or business person. You will get there. Go ahead, detach your emotions from the outcome. Your happiness is not attached to your success. Enjoy the consistent, persistent pursuit of your potential. All right. How can you help someone close to you notice the ego that they are not aware of and hurting those around them? Okay, remember the golden rule. It takes as much energy to change somebody's closed mind, one person's closed mind, as it takes to change 1,000 people's open minds. So if somebody has an open mind, you can easily change their opinion and give them awareness of their ego and help them work through that and educate them and inspire them through gratitude, forgiveness, accountability, and effective communication. But if they have a closed mind, it takes as much energy to change that one mind that will 1,000 open ones. So all you can do is try to understand them and pray for their happiness and stay close to them if you can with that understanding and prayer. Or if they are bleeding you, understand them, pray for their happiness, and run away. All right, everyone, as we're coming to a close, just as a reminder, we will do this more often. The BYOQ, I hope it's been valuable to you. Please let me know your number one takeaway, david@dmeltzer.com. Let me know your number one takeaway. If you want any of the guides, any of my books for free, if you want to sign up for the pitch competition, any of these things, make sure you come next week. And if you didn't see this, watch the replay on the playbook on Monday or on YouTube. It is a podcast as well now, and it kicks it. So make sure you join me on any of those platforms. If you don't know them, then email me, david@dmeltzer.com, 949-298-2905, free book, free pitch competition, free exercises, free training. I can't offer you anything more today. Enjoy your holiday, and most importantly, be kind to your future self and do good deeds. Enjoy the holiday. Thank you.
Hey, podcast listeners. Thank you for listening, as always, to today's episode. I know you've been enjoying the Road to Revenue episodes. They are downloading at record paces, and I am so grateful for you joining me, not only on the podcast, but live every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern. Make sure you email me at david@dmeltzer.com or text me at 949-298-2905. Thank you so much.